Peter, when did you leave KIOA?
Well, they dropped all those charges.
Now, we had some other guy, another guy that got into that.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you something that I think you ought to know. You know, we used a lot of reverb in those days. The radio station was always in constant reverb because it was part of the show biz. And it was also so that we could have imperceptible overlaps, you know, so that if we were a little late, the decay would be there so that we could reach over and start the turntable. But the other thing is, we used strobes and souped our turntables. I'll confess to that now. The music on KIOA was at 47 RPM. We dubbed it the cart.
Well, take a little sidestep here. When I came back to Des Moines, I went to work for KSO under a different name when they went country. And I guess they had done that too. And we were playing music off the 45s. And, mm-hmm. of course, the fiddle music, the country music, with the playing a little bit faster. They couldn't find the old capstans. They'd taken the capstans off the turntables, and they couldn't find them. So for the first few weeks, the country music really sounded funny.
Yeah, it was a trick that Jack McCoy taught me, and who was a guy who was a program director in San Diego. And we put them on cart so that we would have them there. We also did another thing with the Beatles. I had no idea how to handle the Beatles in 65, because when one of their albums would come out, it'd sell like a single. I mean, it'd come out gold. It was a million seller. And I said, these guys are so big, we'll have to figure out something. So we took a 15-minute tape cartridge. If you remember those, they had the high center and they had 15 minutes. And I put the whole Beatle album on there so that the jocks couldn't have a favorite cut. They just put the cart in and they pushed whatever came up next. And I remember Beatles 65. You know, because we had it on the playlist, you'd see Beatles, and then you just put the card in. That's what it was. And they couldn't cheat.
Well, they just punch it up off the air, roll it around.
No. Because I had skimmers on the Little Devils, and I was listening at home. We had a bat phone, you know, that would just light up. You could get a sunburn off that bat phone when it'd light up.
Well, Peter, what did you do after you left KIOA?
I left in 77 to join I had a great general manager. He's no longer with us, unfortunately. Most of my managers that I worked for, general managers, were program-oriented. They came from the programming side. He went back to work. We sold KIOA to the Small Brothers out of Kankakee, Illinois. And he went to work for Swanson Broadcasting, who used to own KIOA, and he gave me a call when he went to Dallas and asked me if I'd be interested in going into Dallas, Fort Worth, Dallas. So in 77, that's where I went. I was down there for about 3 years. We did one of the first commercial free radio stations, Z97, on FM. And on AM, we had the Texas State Network, and we did a kind of a version of a syndicated format that came back later as Format 41. It was kind of the soft side of the AC. But we did the first outcall music research there called Mars Music to find out what the adults wanted to hear. So the AM was kind of a softer AC, but contemporary. And then the FM was a CHR Top 40. And we had the Texas State Networks. And then I left there to go to work for another guy I knew at the CCO-FM in Minneapolis. And from there, I came back to Des Moines, which I kind of wanted to do, get my son back in high school, and all our friends were here. And I came back as a vice president of programming for Stoner Broadcasting, which, strange as it may seem, was KSO, my old enemy.
And KGGO.
And KGGO. Yeah. And I operated in that capacity till about 1980, the fall of 88, and then I became general manager at KSO, KGGO, and got off the airplanes.
Peter, where do you think commercial broadcasting is headed?
Ooh, that's real tough. That's real tough. One of the things, there's a technological thing down there, down at the crossroads, and I don't know how radio is going to fare. At a time when we probably should not have consolidated so much, we did. And in the consolidation, we've lost a lot of talent. Whether we'll be able to retrain that talent, I don't know. The spot loads in the ad loads in some of the major markets are approaching 16, 17 minutes an hour. And I think we're just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit. The other thing that scares me is there's a lot of universities and colleges that don't have radio broadcasting departments anymore. a lot of people are interested in television, which I understand. But in all those small feeder markets where I used to get guys out of Mason City and Cedar Rapids and Storm Lake and Spencer, they're not there to feed guys in. So
no, they're getting their programming off the satellite or a machine
satellite
or whatever.
Or their voice tract. And part of that is good. You know, nobody ever made a dollar staying on all night in Des Moines, Iowa. And, you know, most of the jocks are up to shenanigans at best in the middle of the night. But the bad thing is what we're going to do is we're going to have this talent drought of people who don't know what good radio was or aren't interested in getting into it. And I think that's what's going to hurt us. I think that's because what we have now is a way to get music so many different ways between MP3s and internet and satellite radio and, you know, the whole world for Top 40 changed with MTV. And it changed with consolidation when in 96 when they passed the rule. How we're going to come out of it on the other side, I don't know. Good radio guys are still operating. Like over in Cedar Rapids, one of the number one stations is an independently owned guy. So there are still some guys. There's a guy over in Omaha. There's a guy in Philadelphia who's number one. And he only owns one radio station. So he's still a good radio guy. But when it comes time to find his new programmer or his overnight person who's going to work into the day, I don't know where he's going to get them. Because it's going to be very difficult to find these people. And but radio still works. Radio is based on two things. It's based on frequency, and it's based on closeness and oneness. And people still like to hear something when they're in the car with them. And most people are in the car alone. You know, they're not big carpoolers in the Midwest. So they still have to have that one-on-one. But you know, we've really got the mechanics of the format down perfect now. I mean, we can just, it's flaw-free. And you know what? Chuck Bloor taught me one time, you should always write in about four mistakes.
Peter, this has been a real pleasure. Really enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying the site. And
I think it's wonderful what you guys are doing. I saved all this stuff. My wife says, why don't you throw all that stuff out? And I said, no, this is going to be, somebody's going to want this one day. Somebody's really going to want this one day. And so now that you've got a site and we have the ability to do this, I think it's a wonderful idea. I encourage you guys to keep doing it, and find some of those stations that, you know, were real guys who hung in there and maybe have been forgotten in the course of time. They were good broadcasters too, you know, but that maybe we forgot about them.
Well, thank you very much, Peter McLean. This is Ray Dennis for DesMoinesBroadcasting.com.